This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling.
Morning, Melbourne.
Yes, hello, Melbourne.
How warm is it?
Oh, it's so beautiful.
25, which is actually our top today.
I know, it's fantastic.
Very warm.
Thank God it's our top because yesterday killed me.
Did it?
How hot was it?
You were in the kitchen all day.
I was in the kitchen all day, but it was even hotter outside.
You were sweating.
I went to go get some grocery shopping for the cafe and I was dying. It was so hot.
Yeah, it was warm. We're not used to it, I suppose.
Yeah, but
we will be soon.
Exactly.
But last night was warm. I found it difficult to sleep.
Did you?
Someone who was happy yesterday, though, was Fuzzy Bear because he had his hair cut.
Oh, did he have his hair cut?
Oh, and he just felt so fresh and full of energy.
Did you cut his hair or did you take him to the barber?
No. He went to his beautician.
Oh. Did he have his paws done?
He had his paws done. He's got little poodle feet on him.
Oh.
And his ears are all fluffy. His tail's all fluffy. He looks very cute.
What does he smell like? Does he smell really good?
They put some powder on him, but it makes him itch.
Oh, no.
So he sits there scratching himself and flipping over. Anyway, he's very cute. So he was happy. He was all fresh.
Didn't have any guests over. They would have thought your dog had fleas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I start scratching. An employee who works for the Justice Department in Texas was alleged to have stolen $1.2 million for heaters.
For heaters?
Yeah, over a nine-year period.
Of
oh, my God. Mexican food. How's that?
How was he stealing them?
Well, the alleged plot was only uncovered when he took a day off for a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
So he wasn't working for the day. And he forgot to stop his little secret operation because the truck that was delivering them to the department's kitchen turned up. With 363 kilograms.
Oh, my God, of fajitas.
Of them. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
The kid said, we don't order these. And he said, well, I've been delivering here for the last 9 years.
I need to undo my pants. I just felt the load of that.
How does that?
Oh, my God, my stomach's exploding.
363 kilograms. What would you do with?
I'd bathe in it. I'd swim in those tacos.
I don't know, but that's all. $1.2 million.
That is a lot of money. Look, I also got a flashback when you said with the truck because I used to buy some hot perfume when I was like a teenager of this Lebanese gorgeous girl in a side street in East Keilor.
Oh, really?
And we'd get all the top leading brands of perfumes. But we'd get them home and we'd spray it on us and it would last for about 30 seconds, the smell. So it turned out it wasn't hot stuff anyway.
Exactly. So it was probably she's probably got some backyard thing making up in a bucket.
Totally.
She's probably buying one.
And I fell for it.
Tips it in a bucket of water, fills up all these bottles.
And I smelt like Calvin Klein for about 20 seconds and spent a fortune for it and thinking here I was getting a great deal.
That makes me think about all those old sorts of smells that were around.
Oh.
Those really cheap ones. Remember that Brute 33 for men?
I loved Brute 33.
Oh my goodness.
You'd splash it on your neck.
I got it every year for Christmas.
Oh, my God. What about Old Spice? Did you ever get Old Spice?
I think I got that 1 year as well.
Oh, that's funny.
And with no idea how to apply it, I just put half the bottle on and probably
I love
stunk.
The name, though, Brute. 33. It's very butch.
You can probably still get it.
I'm going to get you one for Christmas.
Just make sure it's one of the diluted ones that only lasts for 2 minutes.
Yesterday was actually really funny. Actually, it was the day before at work.
Right.
I met this guy who is a delivery driver, okay, and he came into the kitchen and he introduced himself and he said, oh, hi, I'm Mick. I said, is that short for Mickey Mouse? And he didn't find it funny at all. So he didn't set the tone at all. I thought, God, he was looking at me I said, is that short for Mickey Mouse? Trying to be funny, like trying to make conversation. And he kind of looked at me like I had five heads and I thought, well, that didn't work. Anyway, we started chatting and stuff and there was a girl that used to work at where I'm working at the moment. I did work with her a few times. Turns out that he really likes her and he kept saying to me, look, I'm not into her. Like, I've been seeing her for a few months, but I'm really not that into her.
Oh, so they are seeing each other?
They are, but not really. He's like, but I'm not really that into her. But he chewed my ear off. He's so into her. It's ridiculous because he couldn't stop talking about her. Like, I had orders and he just kept going, but I'm not really that into her. Anyway, did she mention me? Did she say anything? Any mention of Mickey Mouse? You know what I mean? I'm thinking, is this guy for real? Anyway, this is what was the funny bit, though. Anyway, I went back out the front and he's talking to my boss and stuff, and then he comes back up to me and he says to me and my boss, he goes, hey, by the way, can you not mention anything to the other chef because she's Greek and she's a real gossip and I find Greek people are real gossipers.
Oh, no.
Me and my boss and could not stop laughing, and I said, hey, buddy, guess what? You just told a Greek person who you like, and he was so embarrassed. But I actually found it funny. Like, I wasn't offended at all, but it was such a foot in mouth moment.
But isn't it funny when you like someone and you're talking about him? No, I don't know.
Oh, really? But did she say anything? Did she say my name, though? Or?
How long have they been together for?
A few months, yeah.
I had a foot in mouth thing once, but it wasn't really funny. It was quite embarrassing.
Well, go on.
It was in a work situation, and there were a round of redundancies going through the organisation at the time, and I knew I was privy to who was getting one, and I ran into one of the girls that was getting one. I said, look, hey, I'm so sorry to hear about your redundancy, and she burst into tears. She didn't know about it. I felt terrible. It was horrible.
You are a shocking man.
Oh, it was horrible. I felt terrible.
Hey, listen, you keep cradling your elbow like it's a little baby. Like, mwah, mwah. What's wrong with you, darling?
So, I don't know. I've injured it somehow. What'd you do? I don't know. I don't think it was chin-ups or something. It's just
those restless nights in bed alone, eh? Pulling out your bones.
Something, I don't know.
Got to calm down, darling. You'll meet the right man one day. Gina! Hey, now listen, if you had to get something done.
What do you mean done?
Plastic surgery, I mean. Like, what would you get done? What would make you feel more confident about yourself?
I've got this, my ear. I've got a little bump on the end of my ear. I call it my.
Oh, like a little wart?
No, it's just a little point. I call it my antenna.
Are you sure it's not something? It looks like a pimple.
I'm Dr. Spock. It is not a pimple.
No surgery required, darling. You know what I mean?
You can just squeeze it. You could upload it on YouTube as one of those videos.
Exactly. Yeah. Is that all you'd get?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe something else.
All right, because I'm thinking of actually doing some extra cash. Like, look, let's put it this way. Chefing is not cutting it.
Hang on a minute. Mm. What would you have done?
I'd probably get my lips done, probably a bit more puffier, make them look like pillows
really?
A little bit. Yeah.
I've just got a vision of it going completely
wrong. Can you imagine?
You won't be able to talk on
radio. I'd be one of those duck lip people that we bump into all the time. But, hey, listen, I'm thinking of getting, some extra cash, and I think I can do some plastic surgery.
You can do,
so if you want me to fix
that knife.
Ear, I'm actually not getting it now. It's a pimple. I'll get rid of it by the end of the show.
I'm putting my headphones on.
Well, look, apparently, allegedly, a 19-year-old Toronto woman posing as a plastic surgeon was working out of a basement, has been arrested. She was known as Dr. Kitty.
So she was 19 years old.
19 years old and was taken into custody last week and is being charged with aggravated assault after a surgery she performed led to a serious infection. So
what
she did this random advertisement. She put a random advertisement in the local at a shop, at a restaurant, and there was a barcode attached to it, and people would use their mobiles to scan through.
Right.
And then they'd get her details and they'd turn up and they'd get these procedures done. One of them was face slimming injections. Maybe you should get that done, actually. I'll do that to you later on. Was one of the procedures she offered. The woman who filed a complaint against her led to her arrest, underwent a face filler procedure. The victim's name is not currently public, but police said that she is close in age and she's got massive infections. So this woman has been reported. But I mean, would you, if you saw an ad advertised in front of a restaurant, it's in Toronto, would you go?
No.
Like, hello?
No way.
Imagine turning up to a basement and going, yeah, look, I'd like my eyes done, thank you. Like as if.
No, absolutely no way.
Exactly.
I'd check out someone reputable. Exactly. I mean, surely anyone would. But maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the people that went are a bit stupid. I feel for you, but come on. You do not go get plastic surgery.
No, not
from
by
an ad.
Not by a 19-year-old outside a takeaway store in any city.
Northside Bazaar is this Saturday.
Oh, it is too.
It is too. Warren, how exciting. So you're going to get to, what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be on the barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Barbecue, yeah.
So handsome lads and all.
With my sausages.
All our massive fans out there. Oh, my God, people are going to be screaming. Asking for your autograph. How are you going to concentrate?
No, you know what I'm worried about?
See, look, it's probably a good thing that I'm not going to be there because, darling, we're going to be mauled.
If you were there.
Can you imagine?
If you were there. What worries me is I might.
It happens in my daily life.
What if I undercook the sausages and poison everyone? That's what worries me.
Just don't overcook them, darling.
Don't make them black?
Yeah, but look, make sure you look good.
Okay.
And look, we would have already performed our plastic surgery on your ear by then, so I'll make sure, listeners, that he's looking fantastic.
I'm going to wear earmuffs so no one can see it. Hey, I've got a new gadget for you.
Mm.
There's a new toothbrush.
Right.
It's hands-free.
Hands-free?
Yep. Hands-free.
Are you for real? Yeah. A drone. Is it a drone?
It's not a drone. It's a drone with a toothbrush on it.
Exactly.
It's hands-free.
Right.
And it cleans your teeth in under 3 seconds.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
It's not chewy gum, is it?
It's a new smart brush. It's like a mouth guard fitted with oscillating bristles.
Right.
And it cleans each of your teeth simultaneously.
Oh, this sounds fantastic.
So you stick this thing in your mouth. I think I'd gag.
Yeah, I'd gag too.
You stick it in, you press a button and you have just walk 3 seconds and the whole mouth is done.
Wow, that is fantastic.
How good would that be?
That would be really good. I think I've got a better idea. Chewy gum. Chewy gum, hands-free.
Chewing gum?
Yeah.
With little brushes on it?
Yeah. Imagine.
It looked like a sea urchin.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
Yeah, so 3 seconds. How long do you clean your teeth for?
Oh, it takes about a good 5 minutes.
Yeah, I use it.
I stand in front of the mirror. I check myself out while I'm doing the whole thing.
Do you?
The swish, the swash. What about you?
Do you use an electric toothbrush?
No, I just use a dodgy one.
A dodgy one?
What about you?
It's got the
You probably go through the whole fluffing motion.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You probably buff them after
I buff them. I do everything. But no, I use an electric one. I find it.
Oh, of course
I had to use a manual one the other day.
And it didn't
because
work?
Because I wasn't at home. But, oh, yeah. Weird. And it was I haven't used one for ages.
Oh, well, you'll have to talk us through it later on.
So we've 3 seconds.
3 seconds, swish, swish, brand new teeth.
On the Bachelorette last night. Isn't that an outdated term, Bachelorette?
Bachelorette. Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, James was let go.
James was such a beautiful man.
He was so sexy.
Yeah, and he was also very sensitive and he was in touch with his femininity.
So why wouldn't she find that attractive?
Oh, look, I think Sophie needs a real blokey bloke.
Really?
You know? Not that this guy wasn't, but I think he was too...
I need to have a talk to her.
Yeah, I need to have a talk to her too.
I think she's.
I think she was blokier than him though. That's what the problem was.
She's.
You know what I mean?
She's got to take a look at what she's looking for in a man. I reckon I need to talk to her. But apparently there were some personality tests,
right?
And they all constructed a pie chart of coloured triangle wedges, and it represented their different personality traits.
You're kidding?
Yeah. I don't think there was any scientifically sort of proven statistic.
Yes.
Test behind it, but they lied about their personalities to fill the charts with all these positive qualities.
I'd lie too to get Sophie, wouldn't you?
maybe not me.
Yeah.
I probably would have lied to have got James though.
Yeah, James is beautiful.
So
what a shame. And you know what? He was one of the very few that wasn't narcissistic. I mean, look, we've all got a little bit of a touch of narcissism going on, and that's healthy narcissism.
Just traits.
But this guy was not like the other dudes. Like, this guy was so gentle and beautiful. And what I loved about him was she gets them to do stuff for her to prove their love or if they can handle situations. And she got him to perform with her in the middle of Sydney, like where Sydney Opera House is, and just perform out of nowhere. And imagine how humiliating that would be if you're not a performer. And this guy did it. It was the most awkward viewing, but he got through it.
Oh, so, James, if you're listening, come into
Sorry, Joy. James, come in.
Get this. Pole dancers are rejoicing. Officially been recognised as a sport and one day could be seen at our Olympics.
Wow.
I'd love to have that happen.
I know a pole dancer.
Do you?
He's very fit.
Is he?
Yeah, just really, really amazing.
Have you ever tried the pole?
Could do. No, I've never tried the pole. Have you ever tried the pole?
No, I haven't. What about you, Adam?
Not lately.
Not lately. Okay.
No, I don't think I'd be like a hippopotamus spinning around. Wouldn't look good at all.
Have you heard of the Me Too hashtag? Have you seen it circulating all over our social media?
No, Me Too. Hashtag Me Too, is it?
Yeah, you haven't.
No.
Okay. Well, it started over the weekend and quickly saw thousands of women share personal stories about sexual harassment or assault. So basically it's about the guy that got in trouble. Well, not in trouble. You know, the director that's in trouble for the sexual – what's his name? I can't remember it.
I can't think of his name.
Well, it started over that, and basically women are just sharing all their personal stories.
So this is that has prompted people to come out with their sexual harassment stories.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's gained traction. So some questioned the movement for placing the onus of spreading awareness on victims and called for a different hashtag for perpetrators to take responsibilities. So men are taking a new hashtag, which is called How Will I Change?
Oh, wow.
It's been made, with promises ranging from I'll listen more, talk less, and to also showing my three grandsons how to honour and respect women.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so,
really good.
Yeah. So basically the guy's name is Harvey Weinstein, so his alleged history of sexual misconduct. So it's pretty full on, isn't it? But I think it's great because it's putting it out there. Some people may say it's naming and shaming, but hey.
The only thing is, do we have to assign genders to the hashtags?
We don't.
Like if someone, like if a male has been sexually harassed by, it could be another male.
I agree completely with you.
Necessarily a female, then they can use it too.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Have you ever been sexually harassed?
No, I haven't. I'm not at all, and I can't claim that I have. The only thing, of course, is that blurred line in the workplace of what is considered sexual harassment and what is not. Like, you know, when people come up or they massage you or they touch you or do things.
So do you feel like I'm assaulting you when I come for a big hug in the morning?
No.
Because you freeze up every time I touch you.
No, not at all. That's because you strangle me and I can't breathe. That's all that is. No, not at all. Have you ever been harassed?
I've been harassed, yeah. In Sydney I was sexually harassed by my manager and the owner. Yeah,
wow.
So it wasn't great. But I did take it to Human Rights Commission, and apparently there's 1 in 5 complaints made to the Australian Human Rights Commission relating to sexual harassment. And the vast majority of reported incidents happened in the workplace. So I was one of those chicks.
That's really good that you did complain about it. And
absolutely.
And you're happy with the outcome.
I was very happy with the outcome. But I really like what you raised with men should be able it shouldn't be gender-fied, should it? Men get sexually harassed
anyone,
as well.
Anyone, and I don't know what the stats are, but it probably is more women.
Oh,
so
yeah, it
I don't
is.
Claim to know that, but anyone can be, and she'll be able to use the hashtag. So what is it?
Exactly.
Hashtag Me Too.
Yes.
With a capital M and a capital T.
Me Too.
Me Too. I've got a new friend.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got a new little friend.
Oh.
Yeah, I noticed him this morning.
Yes.
He was in my house.
Is he living?
He's living. He's living.
Yes.
He
has a heartbeat. Yep.
He was in the toilet this morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a little spider.
You're kidding.
No, I haven't named him yet, but he was sitting there. I like having them around.
Does he rely for you on food?
No, okay. He doesn't. He was just there, only a tiny one, and I thought, oh, that's really good because I noticed I left my windows open last night and there were some insects that came
out.
Oh, that's great. He'll catch them and he'll eat them, so we'll have a beneficial relationship with each other.
Right.
So I don't kill them. Do you kill them?
No, of course not.
You don't have any fears or anything?
No, absolutely not.
A friend of mine does, and whenever I just have to mention the word and she screams. And sometimes we'll be together and I'll go, spider, and she'll scream. And she'll
I had a friend, a spider was in her car. Imagine we were on the freeway and she was screaming like crazy. I actually thought I was going to die.
And you're driving 100 km/h.
She was driving. She spots it and I'm like, we're going to die right now.
Well, in Arizona, officials say they responded to reports of smoke and flames coming from a mobile home.
Right.
Where a man had been using a blowtorch to remove a spider.
A blowtorch?
A blowtorch. And he had a blowtorch and he burned his home down. I mean, I understand the fears, but that's an excessive
I don't
way.
Understand it at all. Just this guy wasn't quite right.
Just a
far
can
as
of,
I'm concerned.
Just a can of fly spray would have done.
Hey, you know what I'm really, really excited about?
What?
When I finally decide to go back to the gym.
Now, let's just pause for a second. We've been talking. When did you join this
now,
gym?
Now, look, let's be fair, okay? I joined this gym 2 months ago. I'm iron deficient.
Oh,
I've had no energy and I've been really worried about it, haven't I?
That's a very
now,
good
I've had
excuse.
A doctor say to me, Anastasia, it's okay. You can join in a couple of weeks. Rejoin.
You should put it on hold, though.
I did.
Save,
I did.
Save
I did
your money
the other day.
While
I just didn't tell
ready.
You. Exactly. Hey, but listen, this is what's really excited. This is what I'm really excited about. Sugar is getting canned at pools. YMCA has stopped selling sugary drinks as it lobbies the federal government to tackle obesity.
Oh,
how fantastic is that? You and me have been banging on about this for ages, haven't we?
Yeah.
Sugar is poison.
Absolutely, I agree.
It's absolute poison.
I've cut it out now 4 years. I keep going on and on about it. And it's
noticed,
the best thing I've ever done.
Do you know what I've noticed, though? When I do have it, if I have something sugary, and that will be at my parents' place or if there's a party or somewhat, I have a headache straight after.
Really?
And I can't place it. I feel foggy and I'm like, what is it? And then it always comes back down to having processed sugar.
So I find when if I've accidentally eaten it, so it might be in a rich sauce or something. Mm. You know, if you're eating out, sometimes you can't control everything.
You can't.
I find I just go foggy.
Yeah, you do.
For about 20, 30 minutes.
And there's sugar in, like what you just said, it's everywhere. It's hidden in sugars, in bread, everywhere.
Absolutely.
So and it's wonderful.
The only thing, of course, that is the struggle when you do take away the sugar is you start reading every ingredient,
yes,
on everything you buy. And a supermarket shop that should take 20 minutes,
yeah,
ends up taking 2 hours,
yeah,
because you're
exactly
looking at everything. But then eventually you get to a point where you think, I actually can't buy much stuff here.
Yeah.
I have to go to the market or to a specialty shop to get things.
And that's great.
It's all loaded with it.
Exactly right. But how good is it for these little kids, you know, at the YMCA, they don't have sugary drinks to hassle mum about or dad.
I think it's fantastic.
You know, 13 teaspoons of sugar in just one of those cans.
Oh, my goodness. I can't think of it. Are you careful with privacy and information, particularly with your smartphone?
I try to be, yes.
It's really hard, because I am.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really careful. I always review my settings, turn things off and what have you, but I still get targeted with photos. And I think it's photos of somewhere that I might have visited or whatever, and I don't have any location services on. I don't know how it happens, but obviously there's data being collected. But there's a huge new screen that's been installed in London's Piccadilly Circus. In the big roundabout there.
Okay.
And it's tracking cars and people who pass by and will display ads tailored to them. It's about the size of 4 tennis courts.
Oh, my God.
And the company that owns the screen
says... It's a massive voyeur looking at you.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Says it features... It's got recognition technology that's influenced by the people and things around it, allowing ads to be better targeted.
That's amping up on the paranoia, isn't it?
Probably is, though. So there's hidden cameras everywhere.
Paranoia on steroids.
Paranoia.
Can you imagine?
There's hidden cameras. They're going to analyse the make, the model, the colour of your car that you drive by.
Oh, my God.
The age, gender, even feelings of nearby pedestrians. Now, imagine if you're walking.
Feelings.
So what happens if you're there?
Like, oh, God, if they tune into my feelings.
Piccadilly Circus is, it's so busy.
Yeah.
So busy. And, I don't know, let's say you're feeling, I don't know, horny.
Miserable.
And it pops up an ad targeted to you. It'll say, Anastasia.
Oh, my God.
I think it's, yeah, I don't know.
That's
shocking. Yeah, a little bit.
As you said, ad Anastasia, horny. I just thought of Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, probably pop her up.
I'd be wrapped.
Are you a fan of the royal family?
No, you know what? I couldn't care less, to be honest.
No?
I mean, I think Kate Middleton's a hottie.
She is?
Yeah. That's as far as it goes, really.
Well, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are expecting their third child in April or May next year. Apparently, Kate's battling severe morning sickness. And
oh,
she's
the poor darling.
Cancelled an engagement. She spent the day with her mother, Carol.
Oh.
Big news.
No, it's massive news.
Big, exciting news, yep, if you're into that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I'm not.
Darling, a lot of people are into it.
I'm not. I'm not at all.
There have been some radio shows made out of just the rules. You know what I mean?
And it divides people, doesn't it?
It's, yeah, absolutely.
Whole, and you can even then take it to the Republic debate, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah.
I personally don't care less whether they're having another baby or not.
Yeah, and I don't really care whether she's got morning sickness or not either,
Have a listen to this newsreader on the BBC, because I think he and I have something similar in
just
common.
Got this coming in from Kensington Palace, some news we just got. Their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, are delighted to confirm they are expecting a baby in April. Now, bearing in mind they announced that she was pregnant back in September, and it was thought she was around 2 or 3 months pregnant, I'm not sure how much news this really is. But anyway, it's April, so clear your diaries, get the time booked off, because that's what I'm doing. And, anyway, that news just coming in from Kensington Palace. You're watching Afternoon Live.
God. He's not impressed with it, is he?
Oh, my God.
I don't think he's got into trouble, but, you know, at least he's being honest and authentic.
Oh, I love that he's being authentic about
authentic
it.
Authentic on air. So there's
another, listeners are being
another baby
us
on the way if you get excited about that. And Station
what
Warren
the
for breakfast.
What are you eating this morning? It stinks. The whole studio is like, I feel like I'm in a fish market.
You are.
Mate.
It's my tuna and
what
rice.
Is it?
Tuna rice.
Who eats tuna and rice at 20 past
well,
eight?
Breakfast at
4:30. All this protein stuff.
I'm
have a protein shake.
Trying to get into shape, and this
at the expense of my nose.
At the expense of your nose, isn't it bad though?
It reeks.
I've always, whenever I've done this in the office, everyone complains. And,
You know what? I would be one of those people that would say, I want him out. I would do an official complaint.
And one day, I remember once going to, like, if you go to a really oily fish like sardines or mackerel or something, God, it stinks even more. And as soon as I open, and I go to the lunchroom, I do it, you know, and I'm surprised
you got friends.
I rinse the can. Before.
Do you sit by, when you're in corporate world, would you sit by yourself? I bet there was no one sitting next to you.
I always went away from people and ate it, but for some reason,
people on the other side.
No, they couldn't even smell it. They reckon they could. Just didn't like me or something. They were looking for any excuse.
That's understandable. But darling, I am. I'm very sensitive to smells like that, and I think it's disgusting. That smell of tuna, especially in the morning, it's like a really strong.
Have you ever worked in a place where there are really bad smells?
Look, I wouldn't say bad smells, but bad breath. And I've worked with colleagues where they've had really, really bad breath, and it's just, it's really hard to handle.
The other bad office smell I've noticed is, you know, when people, the bin hasn't been emptied
over
the weekend or something.
Yes.
And you can't.
That happens in hospitality a lot. And grease traps, actually. Grease traps are the worst in kitchens.
There's a cafe near us, actually, we go to.
We whinge the whole time.
And sometimes you get this.
Do you know what's actually really funny? We whinge about it every time, but we still go and we hold our noses and just talk through
as we walk through the
cloud.
Now
I think we've gotten accustomed to the smell, haven't we?
And we have. So we want to know, what bad office smells have you experienced at work?
We got a message in on 0427JOY949 by Nurse James. He says, my boss had the unique tactic of telling people they needed a drink of water. This is funny, Nurse James, when their breath was bad. Funny till she said it to me. We got one in from Andy. He says, I worked with a guy that chewed whole raw garlic cloves because he said it was healthy.
That's a great thing. I used to do that too.
Yeah. Right? And he was a close talker. I love garlic, but this was ridiculous. Not so healthy when I wanted to deck him. That's hysterical. Another one here from Andy. He says, morning, guys, the smell of the rubbish bins when I have to wash them out at the shop in summer. Oh, Andy, I'm hearing you, darling. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Does he work in a fish shop?
He'd probably work in a fish shop or a cafe or a restaurant. Another one here from Peter. He says, I used to clean for this woman in Sydney and her kitchen bin would stink to high heaven and maggots would crawl out of it.
Oh, yuck.
Hideous. And one more here. The worst office smell I've enjoyed is working in Port Melbourne next to the Vegemite factory. Production day was hell as I hate Vegemite. Alan, I have to say, I want to lather myself in Vegemite. I love it so much.
My mum actually works across the road from the Kraft factory and she says Fridays is Vegemite day.
Oh,
every
Friday is when they churn out the Vegemite. So she walks outside for morning tea and all of a sudden she's like, I might just go get a Vegemite scroll. I've got no reason why because
I'm hanging out with your mum.
Have you had the cheesy one?
I have, cheesy Vegemite scroll. Oh, my God. Not anymore. I'd kill someone for one of those.
Thank you, Adam. Earlier this week, the board and staff of the Australasian Society for HIV, Viral Hepatitis and Sexual Health Medicine, known as ASHM, announced the passing of Adjunct Associate Professor Lavinia Crooks after battling a long illness. And for those of you who don't know who Lavinia was, she was Chief Executive Officer of ASHSM from November 1999 to September this year and was a leading advocate in the Australasian and international bloodborne virus and STI field, which of course includes HIV and hepatitis C. In 2008, she was made a member of the Order of Australia for her contribution to HIV policy, her care for people with HIV and her contribution to health generally. And joining us on the line is Burnett Institute Deputy Director, Professor Margaret Hallard. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for giving us your time this morning. Now, Lavinia worked in the health sector for over 30 years, I understand. What are some of the achievements that impacted so many people?
So, first of all, I just want to sort of say condolences to Lavinia's family and also to all of her really close friends. Lavinia worked tirelessly for the sector. The type of things she did was from big to small and everything in between. So I think, importantly, in many respects, she reshaped ASHM so that it was broader and outward focusing. When she would have first arrived, it was predominantly clinicians who were there and specialist clinicians, and she expanded it to ensure that it really involved a broader group of people involved in that. And that was really important because, you know, this concept of if we're going to end HIV, to have this broader base and to involve community and all sorts of health services. So I think that her approach to be incredibly inclusive of people was really important, and it was reflected in her attitude to many things. The other thing that she did, which doesn't always seem sort of like what I'd call the sexy stuff, but Lavinia was fantastic at shepherding policy through an important policy, like testing policy to ensure people could be tested more easily. She worked tirelessly to get PrEP onto the agenda and then, you know, working with sort of the PBAC and those kind of things to try and make it that PrEP will be available. And we're very soon to having that. They're the kind of things that she did in the background. She also expanded testing programs, education for clinicians, but not just for clinicians, for nurses, for community workers and the like. So really broad in her approach. Also, she took Ashton from being just HIV-focused into the world of viral hepatitis and made a significant contribution in that, again, in ensuring that treatment became available to everybody. But importantly, and I think a really major part of her work was that it wasn't just through specialist physicians and hepatologist ID people, but that GPs could prescribe, that nurses are able to be involved. And I think this has meant that access expanded to hepatitis C treatment. Similarly, she was working incredibly hard in the hepatitis B area, again, to improve testing and access. She was really tireless, incredibly hard worker, working on many fronts.
And I mean, she's obviously touched so many areas of it, but I was reading also she's been working in that area for over 30 years. And so that would have been, you know, she started back in the 80s when viruses...
She was there at the start.
Yeah, when HIV was really new, unknown and completely frightening. So I imagine that would have taken a lot of courage, given the amount of fear in the community at that time.
Look, I only first began to know Lavinia in the mid-80s a little bit and then, you know, well from the 1990s. But she was really that classic, no judgment, just get on with the tasks, working really hard, really positive person. I always enjoyed spending time with her in terms of... She was a solutions-based person and you know, if a blockage was put somewhere, it was right, well, let's, rather than sort of, you know, I'm taking the bat and ball and going home, it was, no, well, actually, let's work through this and find another solution then.
Definitely a big loss. And briefly, before we let you go and catch a plane, what projects have you been working on down at Burnett Institute?
Look, there's some really exciting pieces of work going on. I think one of the key ones which we're involved with Professor Edwin Wright at the Alfred Hospital is the PrEPX project, which is really working on really trying to get PrEP rolled out as prevention, as well been doing some work really on if we're going to end HIV and reach the 2020 and then the 2030 targets, what's the kind of testing that needs to go on? So community-based testing, so we're doing work there. Also some really nice work on what I'd call populations which are particularly not well recognised, young gay migrant male students coming in, and how do we make sure that they're engaged in care and treatment? So some really important stuff going on about how do we ensure that nobody's left behind as we work to end HIV.
Margaret, thank you so much for talking to us on Joy. We'll let you catch a plane.
Thank you.
Thank you. Margaret Haller, Deputy Director of the Burnett Institute on the passing of Lavinia Crooks. That's it for us.
It is, but we're back with you tomorrow morning, 6:30.
Tomorrow from 6:30.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.